You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Florida or Hawaii might seem like perfect getaways during Wisconsin winters, but our guest says it's also a good time for international destinations, and there could be some good deals out there. Maybe Christmas in Prague? We'll have some ideas coming up. Right now, it's time for a weekly Wisconsin News Roundup. First, five football players at UW-Eau Claire have been suspended from the team after making racist posts on the social media platform Snapchat. Liz Domes is a WPR digital content manager. She reported on this story. Liz, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Rob.
Can you tell us about the Snapchat post and thread that led to these suspensions?
Yes. So on Tuesday, a screenshot of a conversation that occurred allegedly between members of the UW-Eau Claire football team and a private chat on Snapchat began circulating. And in that conversation, one of the users referenced the BME, and that stands for the Black Male Empowerment, which is a campus organization, and then said that a non-existent WME is meeting that evening. The speculation is that WME stands for White Male Empowerment. That's not actually an organization that exists on campus. But that speculation is because this post was paired with an image of a burning cross and Klansmen in the background. Other users kind of fed into that conversation with, you know, more racial remarks. One said, I'll be there, but I'll be like 5 minutes late. Think the cross will still be burning. Don't want to miss that again. Just more comments from there.
What's been the response now from UW-Eau Claire administration?
Yeah, so I spoke with Chancellor Jim Schmidt, and he actually issued a memo on Thursday. He began by calling it a dark time for the university. He condemned the posts, and then within that memo, he mentioned a few plans of action. He said that he had heard from students on, you know, every channel, email, calls, meeting with students in person on social media. People were decrying this, and some are calling for expulsion of these students. Basically, what's happened so far is that the athletic department has suspended these five players from the team. What's going to happen is, well, actually, an investigation is already ongoing from the dean of students' office to investigate this. He has actually asked that all unsupervised social media groups that are involving athletic teams be suspended. Schmidt says that he expects that an update on the progress of the investigation will be made before the Thanksgiving break. He doesn't expect an investigation to take that long, but at this point, it's underway.
And what are you watching for next as we wrap up, Liz?
Yeah, I think because the students' names are revealed in the Snapchat conversation, I think that an investigation, the chancellor said, likely to conclude soon. It's really unclear at this point what's going to happen, what kind of disciplinary action is going to result, you know, whether it's going to be expulsion, suspension. We're keeping a close eye on it.
Liz, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Rob.
Liz Domes is a WPR digital content manager. She talked with us about a racist social media post involving UW-Eau Claire students. Now, the Sun Prairie City Council approved a plan this Tuesday to offer childcare for parents attending public meetings in the city. It's scheduled to take effect in the new year. Rob Menser is WPR's rural communities reporter. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Rob.
We'll talk about this idea. What was the motivation for this childcare at public meetings idea?
So it really is about making it easier to get involved with local government. So there are about 300 public meetings in Sun Prairie in the course of a year, because it's not just like city council meetings, but it's also citizens commissions or boards or city committees. And so the idea is to make it an option if you want to serve on one of those citizens boards, or if you just want to come to a public meeting and speak your piece, to make it an option that if you're a young parent, you can bring your kid and not have to make special arrangements for that.
Is this something we're seeing in other communities around the state that you've run across?
Well, there's definitely a sense that there are other communities there are strong advocates for it in other communities. There's been discussion of the idea in Madison and in Dane County around their public meetings, and there are other places, but all over the state where there are people who encounter this issue and see, you know, or just advocates of sort of civic participation see this as a barrier for young parents and want to get people involved in city government.
What do we know about what this would cost to do something like this in the case of Sun Prairie, for example?
So Sun Prairie, they're looking at hiring 2 childcare workers for these meetings throughout the year. And their estimate is that it would cost up to $23,000 for that city. And it was voted on. They voted it in. It's going to happen as part of their 2020 budget this week. So that increase accounts for a city council member I talked to said it's a little less than $2 of a total tax increase that the new budget will include.
You also got a perspective from a former member of the Marathon County Board, who's also, I understand, a mother herself. What did she have to say about balancing representing and parenting?
Right. This was someone, Ashley Lang, who was a young member of the Marathon County Board. She was 34 years old, and she had a 3-year-old daughter, and she's a single mom. And so she is a strong advocate for this sort of policy. She talked about having to take her daughter, drive her daughter out to her parents' house out in Athens, which is about a half an hour away. She'd have to drive out to Athens, drop her daughter off, come back in for the county board meeting, and then go back to her parents' house after that. And like it just shows the obstacles, right? I mean, that's to be engaged in your community. That's a whole lot of extra work for somebody who's a parent, and let alone a single mom.
Let's turn to another story you covered, Rob. Yesterday morning, officials from a few different county sheriff's departments put Rhinelander's City Hall on lockdown. What happened there?
Right. So we learned today from the reporting of our friends at WXPR Public Radio that they were serving a search warrant against the Rhinelander City Administrator, Daniel Guild. Guild has been with Rhinelander for about a year, and there have been several controversies that he's been involved with in that role. And so yesterday, officials from the Oneida County Sheriff's Department and a couple of other neighboring sheriff's department, as well as the state Department of Justice, locked down City Hall and served search warrants on in an investigation into tampering with public records and misconduct in public office, both of which are felonies. And then the news today is that specifically the investigation is into Guild.
This isn't something we see every day, a city hall being locked down by various law enforcement agencies. What do we know about what happens next in a case like this?
Well, always important to say no arrests have been made, right? No, there are no formal charges here. I spoke with Oneida County Chief Deputy Dan Hess yesterday, and he said that this is the result of this action itself is a result of a months-long investigation involving several different sheriff's departments. And now they seized a bunch of paper documents and also a bunch of electronic evidence. So now they're going to analyze that evidence and determine from there with the district attorney's office whether there will be charges forthcoming.
And finally, Rob, the Wisconsin DNR is giving hunters a green light to watch out for a different mammal than the deer they're usually looking for, feral pigs. What is the DNR telling deer hunters?
The DNR says if you see a feral pig while you are hunting, shoot it. So Wisconsin doesn't have a confirmed free-ranging feral pig population anymore, but it has in the past. As in the early 2000s, there was a herd of some 130 feral pigs in the southwestern part of the state, and they can do serious damage, especially to like croplands, but also to like property. They can be a huge nuisance. And so Wisconsin's Wisconsin's law is there's no bag limit. There's no special license required as if you have a small game license. And so the message that the DNR put out was just if there are any still out there and deer hunters happen to see any, they should not be shy.
Now, there was a kind of a viral online running joke about feral pigs for a while, but these are a big deal in some states. As you say, not currently Wisconsin, but states that don't have feral pigs really don't want them to get a foothold, right?
No, it's absolutely wild. So just this year, the U.S. Department of Agriculture launched an eradication program that is $75 million, this extensive eradication program in multiple states. The government estimates that the damage that these creatures do is about $2 billion per year. This is like they're especially sort of prevalent in Texas and in a lot of like the southeastern United States, mm-hmm. Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas. There's a ton. So where they exist, they spread fast and they're extremely destructive.
Rob, thanks for sharing your trifecta of stories with us this week.
Thank you.
That's Rob Mentzer, WPR Rural Communities reporter. He talked with us about a few stories he's been covering, from Sun Prairie to Rhinelander to the DNR. He finished off our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup.